This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your driver's license is important so you can get back and forth to work, get your kids to school, and back and forth to daycare. If your license has been suspended because you can't pay your tickets, you can't do any of those things. Let's talk about Chapter 13 bankruptcy. You may have heard that tickets cannot be discharged, but they can be dealt with in a Chapter 13 case. Why not come in for a free consultation? The chapter you choose will make all the difference to your getting back, legally, on the road. Let's design a plan to pay off your tickets and restore your license immediately. I'm attorney Travis Gagne. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle.
KISW presents the KISW Financial Advisor. Here to talk money, please welcome Todd. I invented numbers so I know how this stuff works. Peach.
Hey, Todd, what's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning, DJ. How are you?
Doing well, Todd. Doing well. And folks, let me tell you, Todd's the man, okay? He's got over 25 years of experience in the financial services industry, and he's been with BECU for the last 16 years, and what a great place to do all your banking. If you live, work, or attend school in Washington State, you can be a BECU member. Just go to BECU.org. And Todd, the holidays are good. You didn't spend too much. It's Todd we're talking to.
That's right.
Did you manage it, Todd? I mean, I always wonder if somebody Todd's going to go, dude, I can't believe it. I went out of my mind this year. I don't know what I was thinking.
You know me too well, BJ.
Yeah, that's what it is. Steve, on the other hand, already looking at more T-shirts. Todd.
I closed the browser. Todd would be proud of me, and I said, I do not need this shirt.
You closed right the browser, yeah. But did you save the link?
Well, I still have the email. I mean, delete it, all maybe. Right,
yeah.
Look,
you're like my wife, Steve. I swear we have our own Amazon truck. It comes every day. So.
Oh, dude. Yeah, you and me both. I mean, they leave notes saying that they love the show on mine. Like, that's how it's gotten to the point where they know who I am. And
wow.
Yeah, we get stuff almost every single day.
Two or three times a day, so.
Yeah, especially with a baby, man. I just forget about it.
Yeah.
Forget about it. 206-421-ROCK, Texas.
Jeff Bezos owes me.
Oh, does he owe you?
He owes me something.
Yeah, all right. I'll see what I can do.
What are you going to do?
I want to talk to Jeff Bezos and say, look, I don't know if you understand. He's a fellow bald guy like you. Come on, Jeff. Give him something. All right, if you got any questions for Todd, man, it's simple. 206-421-ROCK. You can text us at 77999. Let's go to Casey in South Center. Casey, you are on The Rock with Todd from BECU.org.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Hey, Casey.
Great.
Hey, I got a question for you. My wife and I, we have fairly separate finances. We've combined a few things here and there, but for the most part, I've got my savings account that I am building up, and she has hers. But we want to do some renovations at the house, and we've already priced everything out. It's going to be about $20,000 to $25,000 for the renovations. Now we together have the cash to pay for that flat out. But her perspective is she wants to look into getting a home equity line of credit for that amount, and keep our savings as a liquidable asset, so that if something were to happen to her job or my job or something catastrophic. We could still get the renovations done, but then also have this backup kind of buffer for the unknown, for the what if. And I just didn't know if it was a good idea to incur an APR, and more payments in the future. Essentially, pay someone money to get money versus using what we already have.
That's a great question, Casey. It sounds like that savings you have is your emergency fund. You don't have anything else to fall back on.
Correct.
So if something were to happen, which we don't know if it could or would, or but you wouldn't have that 6 months or 8 months or even a year of expenses to fall back on. That's that $20,000 to $25,000.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Okay. I'm going to side a little bit with your wife there, and the only reason is that if let's say you were to get laid off or whatever, or both of you, it's much harder to borrow money when you're out of a job, when you don't have income. So maybe there's a trade-off here. Maybe it's not the whole $20,000 to $25,000. Maybe it's part of that, and you're keeping some of that in that emergency fund. If something were to happen, and then I would look at, and you could also look at just getting a home equity line of credit. So the money is there, it's already set up. You don't necessarily have to draw on it right away, but you have it established in case you need it.
Okay. All right. Very cool. Thanks, man.
And Todd, I have a question to follow up on that, because it's the first thing you always say to anybody when they're starting any kind of financial plan at all. That's the first thing you say is that emergency fund. And what is the rule of thumb for an emergency fund, like based on someone's annual income?
6 to 8 months of expenses is a good starting point. Depending on your profession, if you're in sales or something more risky, maybe you want to look more of like a year of expenses. But a good starting point would be like 6 to 8 months of expenses set aside in a safe money market or a savings account.
206-421-ROCK, text us at 77999. We're talking to Todd Peach from BECU.org. John from Lake Taps, you are on the Rock.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Todd. How are you doing today?
Hey, John. Thank you.
What you got for us, Johnny?
Okay, so here's the deal. Bought a beautiful house up in Bonnie Lake 7 years ago. About 6 months ago, I refied from a 4.0 to a 2.78.
Nice.
I paid off the wife's Yukon. I put $20,000 in savings.
Damn.
I have $10,000 in checking. What I'm doing is a biweekly payment on my house. So that puts another house payment towards principal at the end of the year.
Nice.
Plus, you have to make one full house payment in order to do that. So my house payment went from $1,428 to $1,295. But what I'm doing is I'm putting it up to $1,500, which is $750 every other week, which equals to $205 a month towards principal.
Nice.
I'm wondering what else, if you can think of, that I should be doing. I also have $90,000 in my retirement, which right now isn't, all that much. So I'm not doing too bad. I got a really good job. Everything's stable. I don't live without outside of my means. I have no other payment besides my house payment. None. Everything I own is bought and paid for. But I'm just wondering, is there something I'm missing, something I can do to relocate some money somewhere?
Yeah, you can relocate it to us. I mean, we haven't had breakfast. I mean, come on, John. And you got some extra cash running around.
Seems about right.
Yeah.
No, the guy without the beard owes you breakfast.
Yeah. Good point.
Not true.
Very good point.
I'm listening.
Yeah, so Todd, it sounds like he's got a lot of things going on. By the way, John, you haven't told us your age. I think that's important since you're talking retirement. How old are you, sir?
I'm 56, sir.
All right, there you go, Todd. You got all the info. It sounds like he's doing a great job. Is there anything he's missing?
Well, I'm not a big fan of paying off the house or paying that extra principal is kind of down on that list for me personally.
Why,
John? You mentioned it. I think you said you have $90,000 in retirement.
Yeah.
At 56, that's probably low. Quite a bit low, actually.
I agree. And
so instead of, it's great that you're paying that extra principal. You're not, you don't have, it doesn't sound like you have any more debt now that the car's paid off. So instead of doing that extra principal, I would look at redirecting that money into an IRA or possibly a Roth IRA.
Todd, is that because the interest he's paying on his house is a lot less than the interest he would be getting back from putting it into an account like that?
Absolutely. Yeah, he's at 2.78%, I think he said. Over the long run, you can make a lot more than that in the stock market. In retirement, you can downsize the house and sell it and do whatever. But that retirement income is we're a little low there. So I would probably look at, John, I'd look at redirecting that extra principal to some retirement savings where, you, like BJ said, you can earn a return much greater than the 2.78% you're paying on the mortgage.
Okay, because so basically my house payment went down to $1,295. I bumped it up to $1,500. I can work both ways with that, you know. So should I not do that and put more into other, like Roth IRA or something like that, you're saying?
Yeah. Do you have like a 401k at work, or what does your retirement look like?
Yes. I have 401k at work.
Is that what you said the 90,000 is part of, or is that something, is that more than that?
No, that's through my work.
Okay, so there you go. So all he has is
You could up that 401k at work. Sounds like you're not putting in. You're over 50, so now you have the catch up. So you're at like 26,000. You could put in that 401k. You're not there.
Yeah, the way I have it figured out.
All right, you know what? You can reach out to Todd. I mean,
that's it. That's a good call.
Going back and forth now about the same.
So here's just to summarize. If we up that 401k. That's going to be tax deferred money, so he's not going to pay income tax on that today, and it's going to grow at a rate better than the 2.78% he's paying on the mortgage.
Good call.
Todd, we have important questions here. Guy's stuff was important.
Here we go.
Somebody says, look, you got to ask Todd, how am I going to invest my lottery winnings? Another person says, I don't know if he's playing the lotto right now, but Todd, you kind of have to. It's worth so much. What would you do, and what would you buy if you won it?
And how much of my emergency fund should I direct towards those lottery tickets? I think that's important.
It's like 900-something million?
Yeah. I feel like my entire emergency fund should go to that, right? I mean, this is an emergency. I need to win that lottery.
Do you think someone has dropped, like, I know people have paid $100 for a ticket, but do you think someone's dropped, like, five figures on lottery tickets?
Todd, have you heard anything, any crazy stories like that in your time about the maximum amount people have spent on lottery tickets?
I haven't, no. I have no idea.
Do you recommend that I do that?
I do.
What, six figures?
Five.
He's going to go five figures.
Crazy.
Don't get crazy. He only wants to spend five figures.
That's irresponsible.
Come on. He's only talking about 20 to 30 grand he wants to spend on lottery tickets.
Actually, here's a good question. Is now a good time to buy a condo in Seattle for the first time during COVID? I noticed that prices are coming down.
Oh, good question.
Well, I mean, I've said this all along that, timing, when you're ready, you're ready. And you can't time them. You know, what home prices are going to do. Yes, prices are down a little bit in Seattle as people have moved out, but maybe once we get the vaccine, people will start to come back. So if you're ready to buy, you have the down payment, your credit's good, you're in a great spot, you're not going to move in the next 3 to 5 years, absolutely. Let's take a look at it. Start time to start looking.
And one quick follow-up based on that guy's call. How much should you have in your retirement at the age of 56? Someone just texted in.
Let's base that, by the way. Say somebody made 50 grand a year, because you have to have a number that you made. So let's say if you made 50 grand a year and you retire at 65, Todd, how much do you think you'll need? Just so someone can get an idea, like, well, what will I need if I was used to making 50 grand a year?
That's a case by case, BJ. And the reason is it depends. What do you want your retirement to look like? Are you going to travel? do you own your home in your retirement? So there's a lot of variables there. So this is, I think you mentioned this many times over. It's not a bad time to sit down with somebody, an advisor, to run those numbers. And they can tell you, okay, based upon, making $50,000 a year, are you going to spend $25,000 a year, or are you going to need that $50,000 a year income in retirement as well? Then you can start to make some scenarios and some numbers, what that might look like. It might be $700,000. It might be $1 million. It might be $1.5 million.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right, because I remember when I sat down with my guy, gosh, 10 years ago, I had all these plans, all these things I wanted to do, and then here it is, he does a 10-year review. I don't want to do any of that stuff anymore. I'm like, you know what, that was stupid, I don't want to. And he's like, well, that will significantly change the numbers then. So you make a really good point. You have to really check in a lot.
Having fun's overrated.
I don't need to go have fun, so... Todd, good call. Always, you know, chatting with a financial advisor is a great thing. And again, we've run out of time, but Todd will be happy to answer any questions you have via email. Just go to KISW.com, scroll down, you'll see the banner with Todd and I there, and you can click on that. It'll take you right to the email address, and Todd will do the best he can. Todd, always good talking to you, buddy.
You too, BJ. Thank you.
There goes Todd. And don't forget, if you live, work, or attend school in Washington State, BECU is a great credit union. It's a great alternative way than the average bank, because they work for you because you are an owner when you're part of a credit union. Go to BECU.org. We got a list that just came out of the 20 best album opening songs of all time. And what do you think topped the list? Well, I'll tell you, at 8:17 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. The website Bro Bibles put together a list of the 50 best opening songs of all time. And we want to go, what do we want to go, from bottom to top, or do we want to start right at the top, Steve?
Let's just start right at the top.
Right,
give the people
the
what they want.
All right. Well, it's no surprise that the best opening song of an album of all time, people believe, is indeed from Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and this bad boy.
I love that cowbell. Yeah. Yeah. I just love that he rocks the cowbell on that damn thing, Steven Adler.
And so that's the idea. It's the first song of an album. Who has the best first song, opening song of an album of all time? Of course, that from Appetite of for Destruction. That's what we're talking about, Bro Bibles list.
I always have this conversation with my buddies whenever we get like music geeky. I feel like the first song off of a record, it's like the first impression. You got to come out strong. You can't give us crap as the first song. Like it will dictate, especially nowadays with streaming services and, you know, back in the old days of vinyl and CDs, I might just sit there and listen to the whole record. But now it's like, if I'm not feeling that first song off your record, like, meh, I'm going to move on to something else.
You know, Steve, it's quite a philosophy, because I remember, like, you know, when I would work at the hit stations and then you'd get the full album, the first song wasn't the hit song. Like, they always had something, you know. So there is a different philosophy depending upon, is it the studio, the band, the record company?
But I don't think it has to be the hit song. It just has to be... It just has to make that statement, you know, unless you have like some kind of cool, like musical thing that builds to the second song, then that's almost like the first song is the lead up into that song. But for the most part, like, I think about Pearl Jam, their record Versus, Go. Oh, man, right from the get go, it's like, OK, this is what kind of record we're going to have. And it's not the biggest hit off of that record.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's many more songs that are, quote unquote, I mean, that I would say better. But like, I felt like that's like a great statement.
And you don't think, like, when it does do, like, that little musical intro, or sometimes when people have that talking first track, does that count as it, or is that annoying?
I think it should. It's the opening track.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they could argue with that, because I read this article, and it said, like, a lot of hip-hop records are not on this, or songs, because sometimes the first song is, like, an interlude, or some kind of a build-up, and then the second song is technically the first song. So I feel like there's lots of shades of gray on this, but
yeah. I guess opening song or opening track, if you however you decide that.
Right.
Yeah.
But Guns N' Roses is a perfect one. I mean, that opening guitar riff. Yeah. And some say that's not the best song off. I mean, Sweet Child of Mine is a bigger hit
than
true. Welcome to the Jungle. Yeah. Paradise City's probably a bigger hit than Welcome to the Jungle. But Welcome to the Jungle is the song that you want to start that record with.
Yeah. It's at number two, I think you know this one.
That's number three.
But all right, we'll give you that one.
I guess Danny's a big Prince fan. Decided, you know what? I'm making that number two.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, this was a big song. Now this was. You're finally in my generation. Like when I started in the radio business and I was working at Hit Radio, this song was insane. As well as that album, Purple Rain.
You know, when Prince passed, that's when I made that, like many people. I'm like, I should revisit that. And then, of course, at the time, like none of his stuff was on streaming, so you had to purchase it. So I purchased Purple Rain, like, impulsively. And then, like, first couple songs, I'm totally feeling it. I'm like, I know this is great, but it's just not my style of music.
Exactly.
So I just wasted money, really.
Yeah, you did.
I just went on YouTube and listened to that song a couple times.
Impulse purchasing. It's
super impulse.
It's a B, man. I know. It's not good.
Yeah.
All right. So that was the number three best opening song to any album. Again, Let's Go Crazy, Prince and the Revolution, Purple Rain. Here is, do we have number two?
Yeah.
I think we do. Here
we'll
go.
We'll find out.
Off of Led Zeppelin 2. Yeah. All right. And Steve, I'm not, you know what, I can't remember my memory. I don't know if we can pull up the other tracks on Led Zeppelin 2, because you may be right. A lot of times that first song is not the most popular song, and I can't remember. You know, I'm not a Zepp head, so I don't know.
See, Led Zeppelin 2, just to get the track, let's see, Whole Lot of Love. Then you got, let's see, just trying to make sure. You got Moby Dick. You got Ramble On.
Yeah.
I would say Whole Lot of Love is the...
I think you're right, yeah. In that
I think
case,
that might be the biggest hit off of that record.
I think that is the biggest hit off of the record. So sometimes it is.
Oh, 100%. Like, one texter brings up a great one. Nirvana's Nevermind. Starts with Smells Like Teen Spirit. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say, because it's just like, it's a great album, but that is so iconic.
That's
very GNR, Welcome to the Jungle vibe as well, in a weird sense. If you want to, like, you know what I mean? Because you got like that opening guitar riff, and then when the drums kick in, you're just like, okay, I'm in. Sold.
So Smells Like Teen Spirit didn't make the top 10.
No.
Wow.
Which I think is kind of crazy.
Did not even make the top 20. I mean, or if it did, it wasn't. This list doesn't think it's notable.
It's not even on. I'm looking at the list. It's not even in the top 50.
How is that? That's insane.
That's insane. Look, I'm not embarrassed to say I'm a Coldplay fan, and they put Politic, which is a great song off their second record, I believe. It's a great start to that record, but I mean, how do you? They must have just forgot Smells Like Teen Spirit. I feel like it's one of those things where maybe it just was a complete oversight.
Do you think Seven Nation Army by the White Stripes deserves to be ahead of that off of the Elephant album?
No, I don't.
See, I
love that
you.
Song.
Yeah. I agree with you.
It's an iconic song.
Yes, no doubt about
not
it.
Ahead, but it is a good song.
But I mean, at some point, you just have to say, look, we understand. Look, the White Stripes are a great band, but I mean, you have to take a look at the fact that, I mean, come on. Smells Like Teen Spirit deserves to be ahead of that.
I truly believe it had to be an oversight. Unless, like, maybe, like, Bro Bible was just anti-Nirvana.
Would you put it ahead of My Name is Jonas by Weezer? I would.
Yep.
See, what's funny is, though, that that's the first song I thought of when I first saw this thing. I was like, that song better be on this list at some point, because that was really what, like, that's their debut record, and that, just the way it starts, I just instantly fell in love with Weezer. I just think that song is so great, but not the biggest hit on that record either.
Not at all. You're right.
But I really do think it sets the tone for what we're going to get for the rest of that album.
Yeah, you know me. I'm a big Weezer fan, and I still believe Smells Like Teen Spirit should be ahead of that.
I know, but we're going to just go around in circles and just bitch about Smells Like Teen Spirit for this whole conversation. I think you just got to have to accept it's not on the list.
It's just Bro Bible, man. I mean, they're just haters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I just wonder what else might not be on the list. You know what I mean?
I hate to go down that road of just being angry about a list. It's more fun to celebrate the songs that are on it.
Running with the Devil, Van Halen.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, nice. Off of their self-titled album. That makes sense.
Enter Sandman made it at 23.
That's cool.
Metallica.
I mean, that's a great song. And it's got a great intro, too, so it makes sense. Purple Haze, the Jimi Hendrix Experience, off of Are You Experienced? Yep. Don't have an argument with that.
Here's one that I'm really happy that made it. Because Rage Against the Machine, that debut record's just phenomenal from beginning to end. But it's the song Bomb Track, because it's like this. You might remember that song too. Mm-hmm. Like, it just builds and builds and builds and builds, and you're just like, when are they going to start the damn song? And it's just like it keeps building, and then all of a sudden everything starts. Zach just goes, argh! And you guys, like, it's like this primal grunt.
Yep,
and you're like, all right, let's go.
Oh, I just got goosebumps by you grunting.
Okay, I didn't. I just had disturbing images by that. I don't know anything about this. I mean, maybe I know this song. I know it. It's No Church in the Wild, Jay-Z and Kanye off of the Watch the Throne album.
I don't know this song at all. It's a good record, but I don't think you know that song at all.
Okay.
That would be awesome if you're like, oh, yeah, that song, I listen to it all the time.
Yeah, I don't know if I might have heard it. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Refugee. It's a great tune. I remember that off the Damn the Torpedoes album. I was around when it came out, so that was my generation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good song.
I like this texture, and it's not on the list, unfortunately, but it's pretty funny. Straight Al's Straight Outta Linwood, the opening song on White Nerdy.
Oh, yeah.
That's Linwood, geez. California.
Yeah. With one N.
Yeah.
Right.
Beautiful Day by U2 off of the All That You Can't Leave Behind. No, you don't go for that, huh?
I don't hate the song.
It's a beautiful.
We don't like U2.
I just said, yeah, man. Every once in a while, I feel like every 3 or 4 years, I remind myself I don't like U2 because I'm like, I should listen to some of that early stuff. It's like, everything about it is good. Like, there's nothing wrong with what U2 does. Edge is an incredible guitarist. I think the rhythm section's great. Bono's got an amazing voice. It's just put it all together, and I last a couple songs, and I'm like, all right. And we used Beautiful Day in our wedding. Like, at the end, when we got married, they started playing that song. It made sense. It was a good vibe.
It was a beautiful day.
It was a beautiful day.
But, oh. I'm with Danny, man. I'm not a U2 fan. I want to be, but I just can't get into them.
I can't argue with you. I have them all over my iPod or my iPhone.
Well,
now.
Yeah, they force themselves on
you.
That's
what I forgot about those days. But then there were times where I just fast forward. I don't want to hear them, which is so funny because I took time to put them in my playlist. But I'm with you. Sometimes you feel like U2 and sometimes you don't. I mean, it's really what it is.
It's like Almond Joy and Mounds.
It is. I mean, whereas like...
And they suck too.
Like, you know, like Guns N' Roses, it feel like you always feel like Guns N' Roses.
And I would contend that if you're going with U2, I don't think you go Beautiful Day. You got to go with the iconic. I mean, their record, their masterpiece is the Joshua Tree. Like, even I can, like, appreciate pretty much every song.
What's the first album?
Where the Streets Have No Name.
Oh, yeah, that is really good.
Wow, that's a good call, Steve. I mean, that's a great song, too.
And I mean, that's not the biggest hit on that song.
For an opener.
What I'm looking for, I think, was a bigger hit. But yeah. That's like, to me, that's just a... That's Mecca for, I think, U2.
I think you got to go words because, you know, the U2 is always, I mean, they've been a political band, so their lyrics have meant a lot. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's a reason why some people love them more. And maybe I don't know the words of Beautiful Day, but I think it is something inspirational.
Because it's a beautiful day.
Okay, good. Now you got it. Yeah. I feel like there's something.
Better than the original.
I feel like something deep and philosophical in that song, and that it hits people that way.
I like this one. This texture's right from their first record, Audio Slave, Cochise.
Oh, yeah, because it does that same buildup.
It's all
that
drums.
Rage does.
Right. And then all of a sudden when it kicks in, it's like this classic rock type riff going on by Tom Morello, and it's fantastic.
It's so good.
I think we can all agree with number 9. I mean, Crazy in Love by Beyoncé. Come on, that was amazing. Yeah. Off of her Dangerously in Love album. This one here, for the longest time, love this intro. Wasn't until Sweet Child of Mine hit my brain that I replaced that intro that I loved before with Sweet Child. But this one was always the one that I loved and still love it when it comes on. And that is Baba O'Reilly, which most people call Teenage Wasteland.
Yeah. Or the CSI theme, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah!
Off of Who's Next.
No, Vicky got it there.
Yeah.
That's the only way she did.
But that's Won't Get Fooled Again.
Oh, that's right.
That's not Bob O'Reilly.
Close enough.
Bob O'Reilly's the one that goes...
Love that. That was my favorite theme that would always put me in a good mood.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Sweet Child of Mine came out, and it was like, whoa. But, I mean, I love that theme to Bob O'Reilly. That's a great opener, no doubt about it.
This is a good one. Local band. You know, a small band, but the band called Heart and Barracuda.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that was an opening one?
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
That's a good one.
Really? That is not... That they didn't make the top 20. I am... That... Okay.
Let's see if it did or didn't. I'm not positive.
It didn't get notable. I only have some of the notables from the bottom 20 there. But yeah.
Looks like no, it did not. No.
Okay, I would argue with that. Give me Shelter, Rolling Stones from Let It Bleed. Sure.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
We talked about, of course, My Name is Jonas and Bomb Track. Tom Sawyer from Rush.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know what's one I just saw in there, and that makes me want to listen to it? I'm not even a huge Sublime fan. I know people love them. I'm good with them in doses. But this song I do love, and it's the song off of their self-titled release, and it's called Garden Grove.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Does that sound more like what they want people to think that they sound like?
It's super chill.
It's got a cool vibe to it, but it sounds like Sublime.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, you know what? I'm totally thinking of a different band.
You're thinking of Sugar Ray.
Yes, Sublime. But Sublime's a good band. So, All right, I'll go with that on that one. So there you go. There's all of the disagreements and whatever, and I'm still going to be very upset about the fact that Nirvana wasn't on.
I got to imagine that was an oversight. I bet when they put it out and then someone brought it up and they're like, oh, crap, you're absolutely right. We totally forgot that band.
I can overlook Barracuda because, I mean, they're an older band, Hart. I get it. But I don't know how you look overlook Nirvana on that one. Yesterday, Steve, he did get this one wrong.
Melon is an anagram of what other fruit?
Watermelon.
No.
That's it.
Melancholy.
No.
That's how anagrams work.
No.
Melons.
Yes, that's not going to do it, Steve. Sorry.
Sweet melons, dude.
See, an anagram is when you mix up the letters of one word to form a new word.
Yeah,
that's a real word.
Right,
like
nerd.
Melon and then lemon. Well, actually, that's lemon was what we're
looking for. Thanks for lemon explaining it to me.
No problem, buddy. You want a shot at beating Steve? You got it. 206-421-ROCK. We're playing Beat Migs at 847 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. Here's another question from a listener. How long is a bankruptcy going to affect my credit rating?
Of course, most of the time, by the time we're talking about filing a bankruptcy, the credit has already taken a huge hit. Chapter 7 is going to affect it more negatively than Chapter 13. Chapter 7 stays on your credit report for 10 years from the time you file. It usually takes 7 or 8 years for your credit scores to get back into the normal range in a Chapter 7 case. However, your credit will start to recover even in Chapter 7 after about a year. You'll be able to get credit again right away, usually before your case is even over. Chapter 13 stays on your credit report for 7 years and usually takes about 3 to 3.5 years for your credit to get back in the normal range. So Chapter 13 will mean your credit gets better much more rapidly.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.